Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Finding a cure for cancer. It's the dream of humankind, a noble endeavor involving countless nameless researchers toiling in cancer centers, laboratories, even federal agencies. Their breakthroughs and success stories, their setbacks and obstacles are rarely front page news, but they are in the June 2017 issue of Popular Mechanics. Articles editor Jacqueline Detweiler spent 3 months immersed in the field of cancer research, crossing the country to visit 7 cancer institutes. She interviewed 35 researchers, uncovered cutting-edge treatments and therapies, and revealed a complex web of research and funding that involves Silicon Valley tech entrepreneurs, government officials, even scientists at Los Alamos.
Jacqueline Detweiler's in-depth reporting resulted in the article Disrupting Cancer, which provides a glimpse at promising treatments like immunotherapy, T-cell therapy, and even decaying radioactive isotopes used to target cancer cells. She joins us to share what she learned in her 3-month investigative odyssey into the state of cancer research and explains what it will take to move us forward in finding a cure.
Welcome to Take Care, Jacqueline. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Anyone who reads the article realizes the incredible, extensive research that you put into this cover piece on cancer for Popular Mechanics. I know it's a lot to ask of you, but would you give us an overview of that reporting?
Yeah, kind of what I wanted to do with this was make a review article like you would find in a science journal, but for a lay audience. So I hope that's what it did. And basically what I started off by doing was talking to every major cancer center that I could find and asking what is exciting that you're working on. And I started to sort it into categories, really, which are categories that exist within the field of cancer research. And I think first to just explain what cancer is, I think that really helps understand how people are trying to treat it. Cancer is basically when some sort of genetic malfunction causes your cells to grow completely out of control until they overtake one or more of the body's systems. So there are several different categories of research that people are trying to do to combat this. And some of the most exciting ones, the first one I would say is precision medicine, which is basically going in and genetically typing the tumor, using a genetic test to figure out what is the cause that made these cells grow out of control. And then seeing if there is a particular treatment that can attack that cause and reverse the problem. And those aren't available for every type of cancer, obviously, because there's so many types of cancer and so many types of genetic malfunctions that lead to them. But there are far more than there used to be. The first one of these was Gleevec, which was released in 2001. And now I think it's 30% to 40% of incoming patients qualify for precision medicine studies at a cancer center like Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York City. One of the other ways that people are starting to attack cancer is by targeting treatments that used to be full systemic treatments and just attacking directly the cancer with them. So that's things like targeted chemotherapy instead of just giving it intravenously. If you give something intravenously that is that powerful and can kill growing cells, it's going to kill all the growing cells in your body. But some of the treatments they have now, what they'll do is they'll attach that chemotherapy to a targeting system. It's an antibody that can attach to the cancer cells directly, and that means you can give somebody a slightly stronger chemotherapy that can attack their cancer cells directly without really demolishing the rest of the body and having as many side effects. That's true also in radiation, and that's some of the stuff that I learned at Los Alamos, is that they are working on radioactive chemicals that you would be able to put in the body and target directly to cancer cells. So as those radioactive chemicals decay, their decay products, you know, the radiation that comes off of those will kill the cancer cells. And then the third direction, I would say, is immunotherapy, which is really exciting because what people have realized is why create all these incredible tools to try to cure cancer when there's this system inside of us that is designed to kill malfunctioning cells. And immunotherapy basically is figuring out how to get your own immune system to target the cancer itself.
Is there one type of cancer treatment that shows the most promise? All of the things you described are very exciting because it shows such progress in understanding the biology of a tumor and all of the things you just mentioned. But when you came away with this, talking to all the experts, is there one type of cancer treatment that looks like it's leading the pack in terms of promising results sooner rather than later?
I think immunotherapy is definitely there, and I think that that is fairly reflected in the way funding is going. I know that the Sean Parker Cancer Institute, that's the founder of Napster, they are completely focused on that, and I think it makes sense. A lot of people told me that immunotherapy is an entirely new platform, so it's a shift in thinking the way chemotherapy was a shift in thinking. And that's kind of what I was saying a second ago, that considering your own body's weapons as something that we could recruit to attack cancer versus trying to come up with something that's just as good from the outside and artificial, your body evolved alongside viruses and bacteria to defeat them and to defeat cells that are infected by them. And cancer gets away with mimicking, pretending to be your own body's cells to trick the immune system. Your immune system doesn't want to attack healthy cells because then you end up with autoimmune disorders. You end up with MS or you end up with ALS. So with something like cancer, what they've had to do, there's several different ways that they can trick the immune system into attacking cancer, one of which is removing a checkpoint or a break, which prevents the body from considering cancer to be a healthy cell and allows it to attack cancer cells. Another way is to take T cells, which are the killer cells from your immune system. They take it out of your body and they modify them and they put in an artificial targeting system and then put the T cells back in your body, and that will go and directly attack the cancer. That latter variety, that's called CAR T cell therapy. And some of the researchers told me that some of the first therapies that are going to be commercially available are going to be available this year. And that is incredibly exciting because these immunotherapies have been talked about. There have been breakthrough reports in the news, but most people have not been able to experience them unless they're basically on their deathbed. And these treatments are coming. They're going to be available to the general public fairly soon.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Raff.
And our guest today is Jacqueline Detweiler. She is articles editor for Popular Mechanics, and her extensively researched in-depth reporting on disrupting cancer is our topic today. She visited 7 cancer institutes, interviewed 35 researchers, and managed to put this all in one article. And the threads that are woven through it are extraordinary. You alluded to one person, Sean Parker, the founder of Napster, involved in this. And I found that fascinating, that there is a role that many tech entrepreneurs have in finding a cure for cancer, and some of them have no medical background, but they are involved. Talk about that aspect of your reporting.
Right. You can learn about the science of this all day, but one of the people I talked to was Greg Simon, who works on Biden's cancer initiative, and he worked in Joe Biden's office when he was vice president. And one of the things he told me is that there is a lot of bureaucracy and slowness and difficulty with the way funding is done. And it's not that anyone's doing it on purpose. It's just that, everyone's trying to run an institute and have enough money to keep their lab open and try to maintain, employment for their staff. And it can be very difficult to share data or share intellectual property under those circumstances. And so I think what has happened is there's a bit of a reasoning bottleneck, I think is a good way to put it, where curing cancer is an incredibly, incredibly difficult proposition. We have thousands of researchers all over the country working on it, and getting them all to work together in a way that is seamless and easy, and they might not miss something or they have to constantly be working for funding. One of the things that tech brings to cancer research is a lot of money, computing power, the ability to create algorithms that can, deal with busy work or things that one person would be incapable of doing so that they can focus on their research more intently. I think that tech has disrupted so many things. This is something where the expertise of coming into an established industry and turning it on its head is really something that would be beneficial for everybody.
As you mentioned, the Cancer Moonshot Initiative is trying to streamline these results because people recognize, and some people do feel that's partially why we haven't found a cure for cancer. It's almost like these tech people are non-medical managers.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody receptive to their involvement?
As far far as I could tell, yes. I actually, most of the people that I talk to, I mean, they want to cure cancer. That's what they want to do. And they were really excited at the possibility of having access to new data sets and, you know, being willing to, they were absolutely willing to work with other people. And I met with a lot of people who were under the Sean Parker Center for Cancer Immunotherapy's umbrella. And they are working with UPenn, they're working with Memorial Sloan Kettering, MD Anderson. So these are some really major cancer centers. And all of those places signed on because they realize now, I think, that this is the way of the future and this is the way it's going to happen. I don't think that researchers are blind to the difficulties that face the whole industry because they're things that are difficult for them as well.
What struck you most about the doctors and researchers you talked to who are on the front lines of the fight to beat cancer? You put in just such a poignant detail about a doctor who keeps a photograph, and it just gives me goosebumps even recalling this when I was reading your piece, who lost one of their young patients. I think it was a child. And I think they keep that photograph as a reminder. And then next to that is a photograph of, is it a little boy who's now much older because the therapy that they used for him did work. So what was that like, connecting with these people who have dedicated their lives to curing cancer?
Right. You get to a point where you feel like nothing you did matters. You know, I mean, these people are, they're so dedicated and they're so single-minded. And it really depends on who you're dealing with. Some people are just absolutely fascinated by the way the cells work or by the way the particular biology that they focus on work. But a lot of the oncologists and the medical doctors who are working directly with patients are just the kindest people. And they've really, in my experience, have had to separate their work from who they are or their emotions in a way. The one woman I talked to, Crystal Mackle, she's the one who had the photograph and it was a teddy bear from the, you know, her first patient. I think that that can be, you know, in her case, it's inspiring to her, you know, to know this is the mission that I'm on and this is where we started and here's where we're going. But as you're going and meeting these people and learning all the science, you're thinking to yourself, how many people have you met that have died 6 months later and you tried to help them and you couldn't? And people are very, all the doctors were very matter of fact about it, which I think they have to be. But you really see the heroism or the difficulty involved in making that choice and as a career path.
For someone who hasn't read Popular Mechanics in a while, I think that your article will be eye-opening for them because it really is rooted in storytelling as well as reporting. I mean, you really give a sense of the flavor of each of the places that you go, and you really, you know, focus in on a few key people. But the other thing that I found interesting in your putting together this article was that you had these moments, which you called interludes, in which you included quotes from individuals who believe that there's a vast conspiracy regarding cancer, that doctors and pharmaceutical companies are deliberately suppressing cancer cures because cancer treatments generate income for them. How common were these opinions?
They weren't so common. I mean, kind of what I wanted to do with the interludes was give a sense of how prevalent cancer is and among the general population and just kind of what people say when you say you're doing something like this. Most of the people that I talked to told me a story about themselves or someone they knew having cancer, and they told me some really incredibly poignant stories. But I would say three or four people in the course of my reporting, so this is, you know, the course of several months, gave me some version of this conspiracy theory. And I think right now, you know, especially given the difficulty of finding reliable sources and something as difficult as cancer to understand, I felt an obligation, I think, to, you know, explain where I was coming from to these people. I felt like I, you know, as a person who's outside the cancer industry, who has, you know, had talked to 35 people and been to 7 cancer centers, I just remember thinking, I'm the person that can clear this up for you. Like, I'm like probably the best source you're going to get on this. And people, you know, several of the people didn't really budge. And I found it so fascinating that I just felt like I needed to include the fact that there are, you know, there are these thoughts out there. And it's when something is difficult to understand, when something has taken a long time and it seems like the, you know, the cure should be there tomorrow, sometimes people, you know, believe stories that that there's someone out there to get, you know, trying to get them, or someone with some ulterior motive. But having met all of these researchers who are trying so hard and working, you know, there's the woman I was just talking about, she's got a teddy bear from a child she lost in her office. I mean, I just imagining telling her, like, you know, are you really trying to cure cancer? Or are you just trying to make a ton of money? It was just kind of abhorrent to think about it. And I felt like it was definitely an important thing to include in the article.
After all of this, the research, the immersion, the writing, what are you most optimistic about in terms of the state of cancer research?
So one person in the story told me that she thinks that we are at the end of the beginning. And I think that's true. I think that we have solid concepts now that will lead us in the direction of cures for a lot of people. It's going to take time, but I believe that people have figured out that they need to work together, and they've figured out some directions we need to move in, and that makes me excited. It makes me less worried about the possibility of getting cancer in the future.
Articles editor Jacqueline Detweiler's in-depth reporting resulted in Disrupting Cancer. That was the 2017 June issue cover story of Popular Mechanics, and she took us through a survey of what that article is about and how she came to write it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.